Quite often over the years, people have asked me, what is it that priests, what is it that pastors pray about? Well, the answer to that question is fairly simple. We generally tend to pray about all the things that everybody else prays about as well. But there is a distinct difference, and it's illustrated in our Old Testament reading this morning. And that is, we tend also to pray for those amongst whom we minister, those who might come to us seeking advice or guidance or whatever it might be. Now, Nathan was the prophet. He was also, in many respects, David's pastor, David's chaplain. And the reading which we had this morning from 2 Samuel came at the end of what can only be described as an incredible day. Nathan had had a session, probably a long session, with the king. And David had confided in him his desire to build a house for God in Jerusalem. God had done so much for him so that he wanted to return to God something of the generosity which he had experienced. In fact, it was a wonderful act of stewardship. So Nathan immediately affirmed David's desire. He could see nothing wrong or inappropriate about that whatsoever, and said to him, "Do all that is in your heart." David at this time was at the zenith of his career. The nation was settled. The borders were secure. Jerusalem, a wonderful mountain city at the center of their land, had been captured and made the capital. In the capital, he had built himself a comfortable, one might say even a palatial home. And as from his house, he looked across the mound which is at the top of that stumpy mountain of Zion. His home stood in great contrast to the shabby old tabernacle where the ark lived and outside which was the altar. The tabernacle was a large tent, probably by this point patched and weather-beaten, because it had accompanied Israel since the time of Moses, when he had led them out of slavery in Egypt and then to the promised land. But a tent that was that old had obviously seen better days. David also had seen the ways of the nations that surrounded them. Nations whose gods were no gods at all. And yet these nations built for them wonderful temples. And yet here was he, a servant of the great God Almighty, the glorious creator of all, the eternal ruler of the universe. And all he had was a shabby old tent. And perhaps as Nathan and David spoke, this comparison kept coming up. Well, they parted company and both would have gone off to bed, perhaps feeling pretty pleased with themselves. God had blessed David. David now had a way to bless God. Yet it wasn't that way when Nathan went to bed. Nathan was set up for a sleepless night. And actually, one thing that pastors tend to do on sleepless nights is to pray for their congregations, or often particularly difficult individuals in their congregations. But Nathan heard this word essentially from God, "Not so fast. Go and tell my servant David, that as much as I love his generosity, the tabernacle is good enough for me. For the last several hundred years, that has been my home. Since I brought you out of slavery, and have I ever asked that I wanted something more, a house of bricks and mortar? This is not the point when you should be doing something for me. I am going instead to do something for you. David had a magnificent building in his mind, bricks, mortar, stone, perhaps precious metals as well. And yet when God speaks to David through Nathan, he talks about building you a house, but he's thinking in terms of skin, blood, of bones, and of a lineage which goes on and on. The house of David, he is told, will be an eternal lineage. I will establish the throne of David's kingdom forever. We heard it in the Old Testament reading. We sung about it too in the Psalm. All this happened about 900 or so BC. And yet God already had his plans in mind. Plans for this great son of David. The great son of David who was also son of God. Jesus who would be enthroned, but would be enthroned on a cross. Jesus, the Redeemer of the world. Jesus, the one who would fulfill the covenant promises which God made had made hundreds of years before to Abraham. God makes to David a massive promise. In effect, what God is saying, David, your heart is in the right place, but I've got better plans for you. Imagine Nathan, if he couldn't get to sleep after he had received from God this message, as he had prayed, as he lay there in bed, he certainly would not have got back to sleep again, I would think. And he would, the following morning, have gone trembling into the presence of the king. Perhaps he was terrified about passing on this message from God to David. Terrified what the king would do. This was the most powerful man in the nation. And David had a way with words, a way with sharp words as well. And Nathan would have to say, "My Lord King, I made a mistake. I spoke before I listened to God." Nathan had got it wrong. And obviously David would have been disappointed. And after the interview ended, Nathan would have disappeared, perhaps with his tail between his legs. And David would have sat there, all sorts of feelings running through him. But eventually he would have wrapped his cloak around him, walked out of his comfortable home, crossed over to what is today the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, gone into the tabernacle, and there we're told he went and sat before the Lord. We're not told much of what happened there except the prayer which follows. And David digested it and came to terms with the message that he had received. Well, it's a wonderful story, but what does it have to say to us living 3,000 or so years later? What I think it says to us is that God always listens when we offer ourselves afresh to Him. God always listens when we yield to Him our lives and our assets, all that we are and all that we have, for His service. But now what David had heard from Nathan rubbed in, as it were, as he sat there in the tabernacle is, David, I have a much better plan for you. Something difficult for David to hear. Something difficult for each of us to hear. Because God's better ideas mean that we either have to put our own ideas on hold or maybe even abandon them altogether. David would not live to see the fulfillment of the promise that had come to him from God through Nathan. But we, the world today and the world since the time of Christ, have been the beneficiaries of that promise which God made to David. Because we have been adopted by God into His kingdom. We have been adopted into His kingdom as a result of the redeeming, precious work of Jesus when He died upon the cross, the eternal Son of David, who then rose again. The promise to David was being kept that he would have an eternal dynasty. God's plans, God's promises are always going to be a better idea, even if they may not seem particularly attractive to us at the time. Fifty years ago, at around this time, Rosemary and I were in Edinburgh, Scotland. It was the first full day of our honeymoon. And we had all that self-consciousness that all newly married couples have. We've been married 50 years now, we're a bit over that now. But during our honeymoon and during the time leading up to our marriage and so forth, there were all sorts of dreams and visions that we had of how we were going to give ourselves to God, how we were going to serve Him, where we would go for Him, what we would do for Him together. These really haven't worked out quite as we planned. I don't think really we even knew precisely where Tennessee was at that time, for example. But even though they've worked out differently, they have in many ways worked out far more wonderfully than we could ever imagine. Like David, our life together has had its ups and downs, marred by our own shortcomings, our own pride, our stupidity, our failure, and all those other things that husband and wife bring together to a relationship. But the Son of God, the eternal Son of the house and lineage of David, has always walked with us, building us a house. Not the house perhaps that we imagined, but a house which has been one blessing upon another. What we may have thought when we were young and rather foolish would have thought to be our generosity to God as we offered ourselves to Him in the best way that we could has actually been trumped time over time by God Himself, by His generosity. And one of the wonderful things about being 72 rather than 22 is that He's not finished with us yet. And He's not finished with you yet. As we together offer ourselves afresh to Him, our time, our treasure, our talent, all that we are and all that we have, and ask Him to build it into His house. In Jesus' name, Amen.